As a preacher's kid, the pressure to perform is at an all-time high, not to mention that ever-pervasive question, so you're going to go into ministry just like your parents, right? So how do you survive? How do you live in the fishbowl? And how do you deal with all of the questions? Today on the Preacher's Kid podcast, we're going to talk about just that. The Preacher's Kid podcast with Eli Blevins and John Groves is a part of the Ministers Initiative podcast network. The MI connects excellent ministers with excellent ministries. And for more information, you can visit themiagency.com. Well, welcome back to The Preacher's Kid. We're so stoked that you're here. I'm one of your hosts, John Groves, here with Eli Blevins.
That's right. What's up, everyone? This is going to be fun.
We're stoked to be back, and we've been talking a lot about this episode and future episodes, and we're actually going to be doing some bonus episodes like interviews. So are you stoked about that, Eli? Like, who are you excited to interview?
Oh, man. I just think it's just pastor's kids have unique perspectives. So any of them are going to have unique anything on anything. So, but we got some fun people coming up. I'm excited.
And we're... By the time that you listen to this episode, we will have launched our Preacher's Kid Instagram account.
That's right.
That you can go and follow. Come on. The link to it will be in the show notes if you're listening here on Apple Podcasts. If you're listening on Spotify, you'll just have to search for the Preacher's Kid podcast on Instagram.
Guys, it's not that hard to search for Instagram. I mean, sheesh. Figure it out.
You'll figure it out. Just look for our amazing faces and you'll know that you found it.
That's us. That's right.
Killer content coming to you all the time, especially some PK memes. Did you know that PK memes is a thing?
Oh, I can only imagine. I feel like sometimes I am a living meme of Pastor Kids.
Exactly. Like I started seeing some of these PK memes pop up, and one of our PK friends named Andrew Olson actually like makes these things all the time. And so I was like, well, we're going to be stealing a bunch of these, and he was cool with it. So
absolutely. And also, guys, let us know what else you want to see for that Instagram page, as well as just topics on here as well. This is supposed to be interactive. It's not us talking at you. We want to talk with you guys as well. So
exactly. So if you're a PK, no matter how old or young you are, and you're like, hey, I've got some stories, I've got some tea to spill, I want to be on the podcast, we want to have you on here. So hit us up, and we're going to have you on a bonus episode.
That's right. Well, we're excited. Let's do this thing, man.
So as we've been talking about like what to talk about on different episodes, and we've got like a reminders list that is full of all the things that we want to discuss. But
we're not going anywhere on these episodes. We are here for the long haul.
We've got content for days that we can talk about. Some good stuff, some bad stuff, some in between. But we, as Eli and I were talking about, maybe if we were going to tagline this podcast, I was like, well, we could talk about the perks and the privileges and the people and the problems, because I'm a preacher and I like to alliterate things.
Yep.
And Eli discouraged me from doing that. Yeah, because he's the better marketer than I am.
That's not true. I don't know. Sometimes I'm like, you know, like, I don't know. There's problems everywhere. There's perks everywhere. There's everything in between. We could, with that tagline, we could never leave. We would never leave. Y'all, we would be in 5-hour episodes all the time.
Give two PKs who are both now pastors a microphone and just let us go. Turn us loose. We'll be here all day.
Oh, I know. Sheesh. Hey, but maybe one day we'll have just like, I'll let it like taken from the Frozen theme. Just let it go. Let it go.
Come on.
Yeah, that's just, I'm not a worship leader. So clearly that happened.
We all praise the Lord for that. Yeah. But we were talking about two of the big like hot topic issues for being a PK. And I'm not going to reveal the second one just yet, but one of the first ones that came to mind as Eli and I were talking, and as we've talked with our other PK friends, is the idea of like, can we get a drum roll? Got it. The pressure to perform.
Yes.
Like the pressure to perform. When you are a PK whether people realize it or not, whether your parents realize it or not, there is this subliminal or sometimes not so subliminal pressure to perform. And Eli, I know that you have not just battled this, but you have like coped with this and worked through this in your life. And I'd love for you to just share with those of us who are out here on the struggle bus, how do we make it?
Yeah, I think for me, like the performance part for me was huge. Just I felt like I always had to like was trying to prove myself. Not, and again, this is kind of separate from us proving ourselves to our parents. This is us kind of just having to prove ourselves in other categories because of who we are. And I just felt like everywhere I went, I had to act a certain way, talk a certain way, dress a certain way, be a cut and copy of what everyone's, you know, make-believe idea of what I should be was. And so I'm a natural people pleaser, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I think I got to the point where I was more concerned with how I was behaving, acting, and just not really living. I wasn't really living very free. I can remember being in middle school, and I was like terrified to get in trouble it's not because I want to be a teacher's pet, or I was not even terrified of my parents disciplining me. I was terrified that someone would think that I did something wrong. And that just comes from just kind of that performance, like always wanting to be on your tip top shape and behavior. And of course you're supposed to do the right thing always, you know, like I'm not saying go and be, you know, stupid out there, but I think I took it to another level. And, you know, honestly, it messed with me for a little bit, and I just kind of let it. Sometimes you just kind of let things, you know, sit in yourself too long, and you just kind of get in your head too much. And that's what happened. And, you know, and there'd be sometimes where I just kind of bust and, you know, it would kind of spill out. And sometimes I did better about talking about it. But yeah, performance was huge. And I just felt like I had to live up to the, you know, buttoned up look that I was supposed to have and act and sound and all that stuff. And now I just genuinely don't care. I'll wear ripped jeans and whatever it looks like. And, you know, not everyone's going to be happy with it. And, you know, I'll be a little bit more free with, you know, my personality. And, you know, but I think that comes from just the Lord. I mean, all this goes back to, if you're not putting the Lord first, I mean, what in the world are we doing? But it just came from, if I don't put God first and actually seek Him and what He wants for my life, then yeah, this thing could go a train wreck real quick. So yeah, what about you? Have you had any of that for yourself?
Oh, I agree. Like the number of times that I heard people like behind the scenes go, oh, that's the preacher's kids. Are they allowed to do that? Yeah. You know, you go back to like your early days, there are certain things that you learned real quick that everyone else could do that you couldn't, like starting a game of freeze tag in the middle of the lobby at church. All the other kids, totally fine. The preacher's kid, they'd be like, that's the pastor's kid running through the church building. You know,
yeah.
This is God's house. Somebody needs, and it seemed like every teacher or volunteer, deacon, whatever structure your church has, felt like they were also parents of the PKs, like that you were, oh, yeah, public domain.
I had 100 parents. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. 100 parents. The perk is you also sometimes get 100 grandparents, which makes Christmas awesome at times, yeah. But you had all these people that had their own ideas of how you were supposed to live. And so as I was walking through that, I went through this season for years where my faith in Jesus was so far from personal. It was public. It was platformed. It was performance based because of that pressure that I felt from people, whether they knew they were applying it to me or not, that Jesus wasn't first. Image was first. Mm-hmm. My faith wasn't my priority. Representing my family well was my priority. Right. And that leads to, and there's probably some PKs listening right now, whether young or, you know, veterans in their 40s and 50s who would agree, that leads to burnout. Mm-hmm. Straight up leads to burnout, because yeah, if all you ever do is wonder what everyone else is thinking and what people would think if you do something or don't do something, you miss out on the one opinion that really matters, and yep, that's your creator.
Right.
And so I think the life-shaking moment or revelation or whatever you want to call it for me was I was listening to a speaker preach on Paul's letter to Timothy, where he said, let no man despise your youth, but be an example of the believer in word and conversation and charity and faith and spirit and purity. And he was preaching it to a whole group of teenagers. But what I felt the Lord speak to me was, it was be an example of the believer, not be an example of the office of the pastor, or be an example of your parents, or be an example. It was that my priority was to exemplify the word of God, and not some extra bonus double standard. It didn't matter what other people thought. It mattered most of all what God thought. And I just found freedom in that.
Absolutely. That's a word. That's a good word. Freedom.
I mean, like I said, give some preachers some microphones and let us talk.
Yes. Today is the Freedom Podcast.
The Freedom episode. Finding freedom as a PK.
Finding freedom as a PK. But yeah, I mean, it's so true. I mean, I can't really think of any other. I mean, I'm sure there are. I mean, I 100% there are. But it's just so interesting because I think we touched on it before. We feel like we also share our parents as well. And I think with just like the whole church, kind of with the community. And I think when, they're shared, but you're also then shared as well. And not that you're an item to be shared, but you're in a restaurant and, you just can't act. You just have to feel like you have to act a certain way because people are watching. Now, again, you should want to be on your best behavior everywhere you go. No one's saying that, but you get the idea of what, kind of we're talking about here. And so, yeah, if you're listening out there and this is something that you've ever struggled with performance, let us know, reach out to us, because we aren't just going to sit here and talk about things that we've not been through, ourselves. Actually, this came from a lot of our phone calls where we were calling each other like, hey, this is kind of what's going on. Do you have any suggestions here? What to do? And so, reach out to John or I, and we'll be there for you, but do not go through this alone. Don't feel like you have to do this alone. I did, and it crushed me, and I don't want you to be crushed because that was not a very fun day. So yeah. And my parents helped me through that. So yeah,
absolutely. And I mean, we want to be careful to let you know what we're saying and what we're not saying. Mm-hmm. We're not saying, man, go do whatever you want. It's all good. We understand that in our position as a PK, that there are more people watching us. I always heard it called the fishbowl. Like, you're living in this fishbowl where everyone from every angle is looking at you all the time, like it or lump it. It's true. And that is true. People are watching you. So I'm not saying, man, go do whatever you want. What I am saying is make your faith personal. And don't live and die by the opinions of others. Because if you live for other people's approval, when you don't get it, it'll kill you. And you'll hate not just the church, you'll hate faith. You'll get to that point where I know Eli and I had to struggle through where we're like, okay, is this for me? Because it seems like it was so at me that it didn't get to be for me. And then we had to learn how to make our relationship with Jesus ours.
Sure, absolutely. And I think that the quicker you can learn to make your relationship with Jesus yours, I mean, the better it is. I mean, it's just that simple. There's not a simpler way to put it. Make it your own first, and I think a lot of things else will fall in line.
How did you do that? How did you make your faith personal?
Honestly, it started, I think it was sixth grade. I went to a conference, extremely cliche. I went to a conference, heard someone say, do you want to surrender your life to the Lord? And he kept emphasizing your life. And I was like, sure. Like, I thought I was, but I guess I've also never really sat down and read the Bible on my own. And I'll listen to worship music in the car or at church, but I just never really made it mine. And I think from then on, and again, I'm not perfect here. We of course had struggles, but I think from then on, I can remember that being like a marked time. Like, I was at this event. He asked if I wanted to make it my relationship with the Lord. I was like, absolutely. I never thought of it that way before. And next thing you know, I'm 26 years old working for my parents at a church and making it my own and helping other people, you know, have that same encounter. Hopefully they can get that sooner. But I mean, sixth grade was great for me. And yeah, I mean, it was honestly just that simple. It's me going home that night and I started reading Psalms. That was the first thing I remember reading because I remember the pastor preach out of Psalms. And I was like, well, this looks great. I've heard my dad use sermons out of here before. We'll start from there. And that's just kind of how it went. And I just encourage anyone listening. It's a new year. This is a time to make it yours. And you're never too far gone. You're never too old and you're never too young to make it your own.
That's good stuff. You know, you got it in sixth grade, which is amazing. I don't really think that I learned how to make my faith personal until the last, I'm going to say, year or two. Mm-hmm. Like it's been recent.
Yep.
Because that pressure to perform bled into every area of my life.
Right.
And I thought that even in times when I wasn't in ministry or around people in ministry, that I'd be free from that. But no, it became such a mindset that I was living for other people and not for God. And so I wasn't even being who God created me to be.
Absolutely.
And what I began to discover is when you're living for other people and you're not living for God, when your faith isn't personal, you're going to struggle with secret sin. Mm-hmm. You're going to struggle with depression. You're going to struggle with anxiety. You're going to struggle with just darkness yeah. as a whole, whatever form that may take in your life. But for sure. when you let God shine a flashlight inside your heart, and when you invite him into your life, man, everything begins to change. And right. so it wasn't really until I connected with a counselor by the name of John. By the way, if you're a preacher's kid and you're like, hey, I would love a counselor to talk to. First of all, Eli and I are here for you.
Yep.
But if you want somebody professional, Standing Stone, you can Google it. Standing Stone is a counseling service that's free for PKs. And you can talk to somebody Skype or phone call or in person. But I got connected with a counselor named John, and I began to realize I wasn't reading my Bible to see God. I was reading my Bible for sermons. Mm-hmm. I was praying for other people, but not talking to God conversationally like he was my heavenly father.
Sure. Yeah.
And when I finally saw that, man, everything has changed. And I'm loving ministry so much more in the last year than I have in my entire life.
That's awesome. Yeah, I think, and don't be confused when I say it was like mine in sixth grade that came. The pressures were all still there. I just learned how to open my Bible and go to the source on my own for the first time. And I think that was the game changer of it all. But yeah, absolutely. Find someone to talk to. Just don't, whatever you do, don't do it alone. You can be surrounded by people and still be alone. You know, just because there's a lot of people around does not mean you're just, you know, find someone you can trust. It's simple as that. But go to God first. Go to God first. He's the only one that can, he's the creator of you, so he can help. He can help mold you as well.
So here's a question I used to get asked a lot. Let me see if Eli can give me an amen on this. If you had a dollar for every time someone either asked or just assumed that you had to go into ministry because your parents were in ministry, would you be able to buy a brand new house?
Yes, I'd be closer to getting a house. Absolutely. I'm ready to get in a house. I'm in a one bedroom apartment. So yeah, I would love that money right now.
Come on, that'd be amazing. Like, I can remember so many times where people would walk up and just be like, so I guess you're going to be a pastor like your dad or your grandpa, your great grandpa, or are you going to go into ministry? What kind of thoughts went through your head when people would ask you stuff like that?
My first thought was I always just gave very politically correct answers for whatever reason. I was like, sure, maybe we'll see what God has. In my head, I'm going, oh, this is probably not it. You know, I thought I was going to play in the USA soccer team for the rest of my life. And I thought I was going to be that. I didn't even play in college. So I don't know where I thought that idea came from. But yeah, definitely growing up. yeah, for sure. People were like, yeah, so you're going to be just like your dad. You're going to preach. You're going to do this. I'm like, shh, we'll see what happens. Well, I guess we saw what happened. Here we are. So it worked. Maybe it was all those seed planted.
When did you know that God was calling you into the ministry, or what was that like?
Recently. I mean, within probably like past 5 years, I had my kind of eyes and goals set to go to business school. And even I went to a Bible college. I went to Southeastern University for my final 2 years. I transferred there. And even there, I majored in business management. So I always thought like business would be kind of something I did. But I think honestly, like I did community college. You're supposed to do community college for 2 years. But no, I was an overachiever and did it in 3 years. And so my third year at a 2 year school, that was kind of whenever I started serving on my own in church. And I think I had just turned 21 and I was like, I like this. I was playing in the band a lot. I was, cause I play guitar and I was like, I like this a lot. I like greeting people, I like talking, like, this is actually pretty fun. Like, who would have thought? And then I was like, I guess there's like, this is what people can, like, I can do this for forever. Just add a lot of responsibility to that. But like, I can essentially do church for forever. I was like, that sounds like a dream. Like, I love people. I love talking to people. I like showing them and trying to inspire people. Like, this sounds like a, like, this is awesome. And I think from whenever I kind of had that very nonchalant conversation with God about it, I think immediately he started to shift kind of my perspective on things towards that. And it wasn't like this burning bush revelation. It was more like, it was just kind of more like, you know, a small steer of the ship going from one place to the next place. And so, yeah, that was kind of how it started for me. And it blew my mind the places God took me because of it. And I think all along he knew he was going to get me somehow. And he did. And tag, I'm it. And I love it. But that was probably like 5 or 6 years ago. So it wasn't like it was that long ago.
What do you say to the person who is being asked that question all the time and it just grinds them to their very core to have to answer it? What do you say to them, or how could they best answer that question without being snarky?
That's tough. I would say in a response, I would just say what I was saying. Yeah, we'll see what God has planned for me. And that's all you really know, because honestly, even a year ago, I didn't know I'd be doing the things I'm doing now. It's like, we can try our best to do it, but the Lord sets our paths. And so only he's going to be able to determine where that is. So people are going to say stuff all the time. Like, they just are. And you just have to learn, you know, it's just, we'll see what God has. Try not to take it to heart. Try not to make it like build it all up. Just understand that people are also doing that because they want to relate to you. So they're trying to create conversation somehow with you. And that's just the way people, they do it. And I know it's awkward, but that's how people, me and my wife get asked all the time, when are you guys going to have a baby? When are you guys going to have a baby? And I'm like, whenever God wants us to have a baby, I guess, like, we can plan and do all this stuff, but like, when it's really God's timing. But I understand now that's just a way for people to try to relate to us. They're trying to get a little insight to our life that may not know us well. And so, yeah, for you listening there, don't take it so personal. They're just trying to relate to you. Take it as a compliment that someone's actually trying to create conversation with you. But yeah, just leave it open and just say that what I was saying. God's got plans. So yeah, that's what I would say. What about you?
Bro, you hit the nail on the head. Like, I don't even have a ton to add. Like, the reason why people are asking you that question is because you're not just some average teenager or kid or however old you are. You're part of the pastor's family. And so they're trying to make conversation, but they don't exactly know how. And so it's just the quickest way that people can relate.
Yep.
You kind of have to imagine that it's kind of like other people in an elevator just going, man, the weather is really nice today. Yep. It's just something you throw out there. And they're like, so you think you'll go into ministry too? What they're really asking is, hey, tell me a little bit about you.
Right.
Now, I didn't get that when I was a kid. And I was, and I know you can't even imagine this, but I was very, very sarcastic. My mouth would get me in a lot of trouble. And when you're a preacher's kid, you tend to have a deeper grasp on scripture than most people because you hear it 24/7.
Yeah.
And so people would be like, so do you think you're going to go into ministry? And I was that kid who was like, God calls us all to preach his word, and God calls us all to go on, you know, and people were like, okay, little jerk, you know, that was kind of the air that I gave off. So I'm looking forward to getting to raise my kids up in a different mindset, because I don't think that my parents realized why that was irritating me, because like Eli said earlier, and it's so good, Eli said this to me a few times, you are not, nor are you required to be a cut, copy, and paste of your parents.
Yep.
God created you with individualized skills, passions, talents, abilities, and a future. And if that's not in ministry, it does not make you less of a person.
Yeah.
And if it is in ministry, you may go to some other ministry overseas in another state, or you may get to do what Eli gets to do and work with your parents. And it's going to be awesome serving God either way.
Yes, absolutely.
I think what irritated me the most was that people just made assumptions about my identity, and that, I don't know, people just assumed that I was going to have to do whatever my parents had done, like it was some sort of a family business. And I didn't want people treating my parents in some kind of way. So I didn't want them treating me in some kind of way either. So there was this like flare up inside of me. But for me, it was kind of like a roller coaster in life, because I felt God's call to the ministry really early on when I was a kid.
Right.
And so I was all in, and then I got to be a teenager and I was all out. And then I was an older teenager and, you know, 18, I'm all in. And then I get, you know, into my early 20s and I just had a complete fallout, you know, with God. And it took some really gracious people to help lead me back to the thing that God had originally called me to, you know. But if your parents are anything like ours, they've probably used a phrase like, the ministry would be great if it wasn't for people, you know. And that's funny. That's like a joke, because some people are amazing and some people are less than amazing. So people. Sometimes they're just a little too people-y. For me, I just wanted to encourage the PK that's out there. If God's calling you to ministry, surrender to it and embrace it and enjoy your kid years. Don't let someone make you a pastor too soon. Enjoy your kid years. But if God's not calling you to ministry, hey, be open to it. He might call you later, but if he doesn't, you're going to make an amazing whatever God has called you to do, and you're going to have insight and spiritual depth that others that work with you are going to benefit from. It's an amazing thing either way.
Absolutely. And also, ministry is not just working at church. You can be a teacher and be in ministry. You Come can on. Be a doctor and be in ministry by, you know, praying over your I mean, don't just let you're in an office building now working that says church, XYZ church, be your standard. I mean, if you're someone who's like, I just don't want to do that part of it, well, you never know what, you know, you can be an entrepreneur, but you can still give, you know, back to God. Like, you just don't put a cap on the word ministry. Because I think God will be able to take you, I mean, he'll be able to take you far, whatever you do, because he's God and he created you. But yeah, that's a good word. Thank you, John.
So to recap our time today, first of all, the best way to fight the pressure is to have a faith that's personal.
Yep.
Number two, you are not, nor are you required to be a cut, copy, and paste of your parents.
Nope.
And number three, never put a cap on ministry. That was good. That wasn't even planned. That was amazing.
No cap.
Sometimes Eli just drops a word on us that's fire.
Yep. Yeah, I don't know about fire, but hopefully it does free you up a little bit in your mindset.
Well, we talked about ending every episode with a, you might be a preacher's kid if, and so I want to toss this over to Eli. You might be a preacher's kid if
there's no
Christmas wasn't Christmas. Yes. What does that mean? Because the PKs get it, but other people listening may not understand.
Oh, well, you have Christmas service, Christmas Eve services, and that pretty much means you don't get to really travel anywhere for Christmas. I had a lot of friends, even family, that would travel places for Christmas, and you're just like, yeah, well, we got this going on. Like, you know, we got church going on. And so it didn't take away. It really actually enhanced Christmas, but it made it probably different for people. But yeah, church was still going. I mean, church on a Sunday, we're still doing it. You know, like Christmas Eve services, you betcha. Candlelight services, you betcha, we're doing it. And so yeah, it just created a little bit different of a dynamic growing up. Fun, but different. So
I think some people enjoy those Christmas seasonal services as like a tradition with their family. You know, we go for 1 hour and to the candlelight service or, you know, the communion or whatever it may be. And it's just like this, I hate to say it this way, but some people just approach it like this cutesy little holiday thing. Mm-hmm. But when you're a PK, this is like the dreaded holiday season where you don't see your parents for like 2 or 3 weeks straight. Like all the preparation that goes into that sermon for all the Christers who are going to show up, the Christians who only go to church on Christmas and Easter, yep. The communion, the candle, the worship team, the element, all the different things Everything. That go into making everyone else's tradition. Your tradition is work and their tradition is yep. watch.
Pretty much. And you come for an hour service with your candle and your coffee or hot chocolate and it's, you know, it's all good. You get your Christmas picture. Meanwhile, we're at church all day long trying to set up. And wow, this candle, I guess they didn't just get put on our seat by an angel. I guess someone had to do that.
Well, they were placed there by an angel. It just happened to be you or I that did it.
Or an amazing volunteer. But someone had to come set that up for you.
Come on.
You know, the little Christmas displays outside that you get your photos with? Yeah, that someone had to make that. Like, someone had to set it up. You know, like, shout out to all those who have to do that. So, yeah, it's not the same, but it's still awesome.
So, if you're a PK struggling emotionally with sharing your family and sharing your time in the Christmas season when everyone else seems to be going away, but you're quote unquote stuck home at church, there are a few things that you can do to make it fun.
Yep.
For instance, hiding certain pieces of paper that say you win underneath different seats in the auditorium and watching for people to find them.
Yep.
What did they win?
There's no prize.
Nobody knows, but it's just enjoyable to watch from the back.
They won a day at church. What is better than the gift that keeps on giving every Sunday?
Oh, come on.
Church.
You win the gift of salvation. We're so excited for you.
You get free coffee outside. You know, there's always free coffee. Yeah, but today it's really free for you. So there you go.
That's amazing. It probably works better if you're a PK of a Reformed pastor. That way people can be like, what did I win? Be like, you were chosen. That's all you need. You were elected. Okay, we're not gonna jump into theology on this podcast. But
that's awesome.
Yeah, make the most of it. Have fun with it. Make your own holiday traditions that will make the Christmas season fun for your future kids someday. I promise. When you get to go, man, this is what I struggled through. You're gonna have all kinds of creative ideas for your kids whenever it comes Christmas season.
Absolutely.
20 years.
Absolutely. Hey, it's a great season. We just came out of it. And now whenever you work in a church, you're looking at Easter because Easter is less than 100 days away. And then you get to, you know, it's not all Easter bunnies and flowers. You got to get that stuff there. So it just goes from one thing to the next thing. But yeah, there's no Disney vacation for us this year to Disney World. As I saw some people on Christmas Day at Disney World on Instagram, and I was like, I will say this. I actually did travel on Christmas. I flew Christmas night. So there are ways to make it work. You just got to leave Christmas night, and that's what we did. We went to our in-laws. But yeah, it's just different. It's just not the same. It is. But you know, that's the thing though. Whenever I was growing up in it, I didn't know any different. Until Instagram, I probably didn't really know any different either.
What was happening.
So yeah, it's, and plus Christmas Day, you can get off Instagram, spend time with your family anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
Well, hey, and if your family waits till, you know, after the actual 25th to do some of those fun Christmassy things, they're all cheaper. So count your blessings. You just saved a bunch of money.
Discounts everywhere on stuff. Oh my gosh, that was awesome. Then, yeah, exactly. Take the Christmas money that you got or whatever you're saving up for, celebrate the 26th, you know, like Jesus, you know, he's just glad to be celebrated.
Come on, let's go. Take us out, Eli.
Let's go. Man, it's going to be a great 2020. I'm excited. New year, new podcast coming at you, new bonus episodes. We're ready. God's going to move in your life. I love you guys, to all the pastor's kids and all those who aren't pastor's kids listening. Like, shout out to you guys as well. You're awesome. So let's do this and have a good one, guys.
Well, we hope you've enjoyed today's episode of the Preacher's Kid podcast. We're so honored that you would take a few minutes out of your day to spend with us. And we wanted to thank you for taking time to rate and review the podcast and sharing it with your friends. That means so much to us. And we have a couple special things for you. There is a Facebook group just for PKs. It's called the Preacher's Kid Network. We've linked to it in the show notes, along with a brand new Instagram account. It just went live today. It's called @thosepreacherskids. There's a ton of great stuff and funny stuff coming there, and we'd love to connect with you @thosepreacherskids. Have a great day.